Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I hope you had a blessed celebration of our Savior's birth. Today, we focus on him being 8 days old, being circumcised, given his name, and there are many things with those events that are pointing ahead even to the purpose of him coming to take away our sins. Right now, as we begin 2017, here we are living on earth, but is this our goal, though? Do we want to live here forever on earth in the state that we're in now? I don't think so. So now we live, there are joys in life, there are pains and struggles as well. So heaven is our goal. And as we know Jesus Christ, we have that goal even now. We have the certainty of it, and one day we will have the fullness of it. God wants us to know those things are true. But we also live in a world where we hear that there are many other ways to heaven. And we probably know people that are hanging on to these other ways. For example, people think that if you are good enough, that God will somehow smile upon you and he will welcome you in. Or people get the idea that if I'm a helpful person, if I pay attention to my neighbor and I help him out with what he needs, how could God turn me away? Certainly he would see me as a good guy. Certainly he would welcome me in. Or if I take the money that I have and I would give enough of that to others, even to the point where it would be kind of hurtful to me, I would be thinking, oh, I wanted to buy this thing, but I'll give up buying that thing and I'll give the money to someone else in need. Sometimes we think that if we do enough of that type of thing, that somehow God will find favor with us and he will welcome us in. Or we might say that at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, we have 150 different services planned for 2017, and if I can make like 99% of those, how could God turn me away? I bet he'll welcome me in. We can get all kinds of ideas like that, but God wants us to know, though, that none of that can get us into heaven. That's why we celebrate the Christ of Christmas. That's why Jesus came. That's why he lived. That's why he suffered. That's why he died, all to make the one way to heaven for us and for everyone. No one is left out in the whole world. What he did for everyone. The problem is that oftentimes people don't know of their need, so they don't receive him. They don't receive the benefits of what he has done, but he did it for everyone. Let's rejoice that we have those blessings in Christ, and may God help us in 2017 to be more serious about praying for others that we imagine might not yet know Jesus as Savior. And that would include people we do know, even people we don't know, even our enemies. God wants to convert them too. What's the best way to get rid of an enemy? To kill him? No, to pray that God would convert him and make him a friend, make him an ally. What a wonderful thing. So may God help us to proceed in such ways in this new year. Our text today is simply one verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So our first point today is the topic of circumcision. We all know what circumcision is. Well, we're not going to go into too many details, but let's think about it just a little bit and think how clever it was that God chose that. Notice what it says there in Genesis 17. God said to Abraham, "Every male among you shall be circumcised. It shall be a sign of the covenant." In other words, it shall be a sign of an unbreakable promise between me and you, God was saying. And then he said to Abraham, "He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised." So once a male is circumcised, and I'm going to let you use your imagination here a little bit, but once a male is circumcised, multiple times on a daily basis, he would have a reminder of this unbreakable promise that God has made, correct? And then even think about like a husband and a wife. So even for them, many times in their marital relationship, they have a reminder about this unbreakable promise that God made. So that went on for, well, from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus, we're talking about 2,000 years. So you have all these Jewish men with a mark on their body reminding them about the coming Savior. But what goes on, though, in life? Do we have many reminders, too, in our lives about things? Maybe we put a string around our finger, and then we're like, why is that string even there? I forgot now. Well, maybe we don't do that. We have all kinds of reminders, but then we forget about them. Maybe we have too many of them. Even for those who were circumcised, they forgot what it even meant. They forgot what it was even pointing to. But finally, though, the Son of God, the Bible tells us, was born under the law. So what happened? Joseph and Mary, they're Old Testament believers in the coming Messiah. They're ones who followed the Old Testament law. So on day number 8, they had their son circumcised. When we think about the circumcision, there had to be at least a drop of blood. So think about blood for a moment in the Old Testament and in the life of Jesus, pointing ahead to the cross and what he would ultimately do. So the first drop of blood that was shed really in the entire world was right after Adam and Eve fell into sin. God took an animal or animals and he killed that animal or animals in order to make clothing for Adam and Eve. That must have been such a horrendous, shocking thing to them. They were friends with the animals, in a sense. There was no sin or pain or suffering up to that point, and now God is killing those animals in front of them, shedding their blood in order to cover them with clothes. Well, ultimately, we had it even in the reading earlier there in Galatians chapter 3, where those who are baptized into Christ put on Christ. So think about Adam and Eve putting on the clothing from those animals that God had killed. That's pointing to baptism, where we put on Jesus Christ. We are wrapped with him. We are clothed with him. He is our righteousness. He is our Savior. So that was the first blood. And then jump ahead to the time of Moses and think about the Passover lambs. So think about the blood on the initial Passover, and then think about the Passover being celebrated for about 1,400 years. And keep in mind how many lambs were needed. Around the time of Jesus, if they gathered 1 million people in Jerusalem for the Passover, and you needed about one lamb for every 10 people, now you're slaughtering 100,000 lambs just to celebrate the Passover for 1 year. So think about all the blood from the Passover lambs. All of that was pointing to Jesus, because when Jesus was coming toward John, what did he say? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we come to Jesus' circumcision, where finally he is circumcised, he's only an infant, and yet that drop of blood was pointing to the cross and the ultimate voluntary shedding of his blood to take away the sin of the world. Let's talk about some numbers here for just a moment. I want to talk a little bit about the number 6. So some things we can relate to from the Bible. First of all, we know that God the Father created all things through the Son, and he did so in 6 days. So when did he begin? Oftentimes we think he began on Monday, but no, he began on Sunday. That's the first day. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he created in 6 days. And then think about Holy Week. So it begins on Palm Sunday. Jesus is warmly welcomed. As we proceed through the week, Jesus is doing all kinds of amazing teaching. And finally, by the time we get to Good Friday, he is giving his body and shedding his blood to take away our sins. So another six. And what about his time on the cross? Nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning, gave up his life, laid down his life at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So 6 hours on the cross. What about the number seven? Well, the Son of God created in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day. Another seven would be he proceeded through Holy Week for 6 days, Sunday through Friday. On day number seven, on Saturday, he was resting in the tomb. What about number eight? The number eight points to something new. So first of all, think about the eight persons who were on the ark. So they were about ready to enter a brand new world. The world was radically changed from the worldwide flood. And when they stepped off the ark, they were entering a brand new world. Or think about circumcision being on day number eight. Circumcision in the Old Testament was entering into a relationship with the Almighty God. So it's about relationship. And then when we think about circumcision in the Old Testament, that's pointing to baptism in the New Testament. So baptism is new life in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have it here at Bethlehem, but in many congregations, though, their baptismal font oftentimes has eight sides on it because it's thinking about back to the eight people on the ark and so on, and this idea of the eighth day. So we could say that Jesus was risen from the dead on the eighth day. So we think of it being the first day of the week, but 7 plus 1 would be 8. So in many respects, it's the eighth day. So we are joined to Jesus, this new creation in baptism. He wants us to know that we have life, we have forgiveness, we have salvation in him. Okay, enough on the numbers. Let's go on to the name of Jesus. For those of you who have been parents, probably for days, weeks, months prior to the birth of the child, you were struggling with what to name the child. A name is significant, isn't it? So what to name the child? What about Joseph and Mary? Do you think they were looking up in all these books and going on the computer and trying to figure out what are the popular names and so on? By no means. It was a no-brainer for them because for both of them, God worked that out really well, didn't he? With both of them, he gave them a special message from an angel to name him Jesus. What's the important thing here, though, when we think about that? They followed what God said. How about for us? Have you ever opened your Bible and you're reading and you see, oh, I see exactly what God means here in this section. I see exactly what he wants me to do in my life as a follower of Jesus. But don't we sometimes, though, say, okay, I get it, God, I see what you want there, but I have some of my own ideas, and my friends think I should do it even another way. So now the Bible becomes one of three options. I can go God's way, I can go my way, or I can go the way of my friends. Is that how we go through life as Christians? That is not a good thing. As we enter 2017, I hope we are determined that we know this book is from God, we know this book is best, and we know it's always good to be like Joseph and Mary and do whatever it says. So they gave him the name Jesus, and what does that mean? In the small catechism, it tells us that the name Jesus means the Lord saves, a very significant name. So Jesus came to save us, or we could say he came to rescue us. He came to deliver us from our sins. He came to do it for us because none of us could do it for ourselves. So he came to do the thing we need the most. Who can tell me now, is Jesus his first name and then Christ is his last name? Is that how it works with him? Sometimes we call him Jesus Christ. It kind of sounds like a first and a last name, doesn't it? But let's understand, Jesus is his name, Christ would be his title. So really a more proper way to say it would be, he is Jesus the Christ. So Christ comes from the Greek, Christos, but Messiah is the same thing as Christ. It simply comes from the Hebrew. What does that mean? What does it mean that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah? That means that he is the anointed one. So when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit in order to be our Savior, in order to begin his ministry and to do the work he came to do to take away our sins. As we think about his name, I want to talk a little bit how his name relates to the Old Testament Joshua. So Joshua in the Old Testament, if you said his name in Hebrew, you would say Yeshua. So Joshua is Yeshua in Hebrew. So what did Joshua do? After Moses died, Joshua takes over for Moses, and God uses Joshua to lead the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. So what about Jesus? Jesus is the New Testament Joshua. If we said the name of Jesus in Hebrew, we would say Yeshua. So it's the very same name, the same name as Joshua. So when we think about the Old Testament written in Hebrew, the New Testament written in Greek, so why do we say Jesus then? Well, Jesus would be Jesus. That would be how you'd say it in Greek. But again, if you said it in Hebrew, it would be Yeshua. So it seems to be completely different in the New Testament, but it's not. It's simply a difference in the languages. So let's draw a quick parallel then. We have Joshua leading the people into the promised land, and now we have Jesus. He's the ultimate Joshua leading the people into the ultimate promised land, which is heaven. Yeah, so I hope you can see how the names line up, how their missions line up, and how Jesus, though, is most important. So Joshua was pointing to Jesus, and Jesus does the ultimate work. And as we know him, heaven is open for us. What an amazing thing. So with a name, though, now with my name or your name, our names might not be that significant, but with the names of Jesus, those are very significant names. They tell us who he is, and they tell us what he has done to greatly bless us. First of all, we go to Isaiah chapter 7, a familiar verse for this time of the year. It says, "A virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." That means, as you know, God with us. Think about that for a moment. So we have God who is Almighty, who created the entire universe, and yet he is such an awesome, kind, loving God that he is willing to come not only to be among us, but he came to be like us in order to eternally save us. I mean, these are just mind-blowing things. I hope you're getting it and thinking about it and overwhelmed by the greatness of God and the great love that he has for us. And then we go on to Isaiah chapter 9, again, another familiar passage for this time of the year. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. What we have there are four compound names. If you look at it in the proper word order, you'll see the way it's laid out there in your service folder. Each compound name has a divine characteristic and a human characteristic. Notice how I have them laid out there. The first name is Wonderful Counselor, so wonderful is divine. Counselor would be human. And then the second name, rather than say Mighty God, which we could, but to keep the word order proper, we could say God Hero. So, of course, God would be the divine part. Hero would be the human part. We know that there are people who are human beings that we consider to be heroes. And then, as we go on, it becomes very symmetrical in that the word order ends up changing now in the Hebrew. So now the human characteristic is first, the divine is second. So the third name would be Father Forever, and then finally, Prince of Peace. We could go into more detail on those names, but very important, wonderful, powerful names that point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Two more real quick and then we'll conclude. Going to Luke chapter 1 verse 78, the Bible says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, the sunrise from on high shall visit us." So we have another name here for Jesus. He is the sunrise from on high. If we were living at a time in history where we had no electric lights, the sunshine would be very, very valuable to us. So think about this time of the year when we have a lot of hours of darkness and how desperately people needed the sunshine years ago. So when we think here about Jesus being the sunrise from on high, he is the spiritual sunrise from on high. So when people are stuck in the darkness of sin and death and they have no hope and they're in despair, he is the one that rises as the spiritual sunrise in order to show us the truth, to show us who he is, to show us why he came, to show us what he would do to take away our sins. So it's a wonderful thing that he is the sunrise from on high. Finally, in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "Simeon was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel." So another name here, Jesus is the consolation of Israel. That means he is the comfort of Israel. For people who are sinners and they know they're sinners and they know they can't fix it, they are very much needing the promised Messiah to come and to save them. In other words, to comfort them. Imagine if you were being led down a hallway and you knew at the end of the hallway there was certain death for you in some kind of a manner. Wouldn't that be such a horrifying walk down that hallway knowing you were going to be put to death? That's all people have to look forward to, and even worse than that, without Jesus Christ. So imagine you're halfway down the hallway and all of a sudden you receive good news that there has been a pardon, there's been a reprieve, you can walk back the other way, and now you can not only live, but you can live forever and ever. Wouldn't that be such a wonderful thing? That's the kind of comfort that Jesus Christ brings by him being the Son of God, by coming into the world, by doing all that he did to take away the sin of the world. So let's know that every name of Jesus is important. Let's think about them more in 2017. Let's realize how blessed we are that we know him personally as our Savior, that we know through him that our sins are forgiven. As we enter this new year, as we work our way through it day by day, let us be at peace. Not because circumstances are good necessarily, but let us be at peace knowing that in Christ our sins are forgiven. As we move through the new year, let us be sure of heaven, not because we're good people, but because we are confident in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we move through 2017, let us be filled with gratitude. Why? Because in Christ, we are the holy children of God, and our Father in heaven promises that he will supply whatever we need. We need not worry, we need not fear. And finally, as we proceed through 2017, may God help us to do so with obedience to his word, confident that whatever God says in his word, we can know that truly it is best. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, help us that we would leave 2016 behind, being at peace with all that has happened, knowing that we are forgiven, and then help us to step through 2017, always with our eyes seeing your holy word, with our hearts trusting your unshakable promises, and with our actions always bringing you glory. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.